To God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, be honor and power, now and forever. Amen. Word of God for a meditation on this Sunday after Christmas, also New Year's Eve, is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, part of the 12th verse. And forgive us our debts. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, another new year is going to soon be upon us. We're going to be crossing over another time bridge leading from one calendar year into the next, a few hours. When we arrive at a threshold of a brand new calendar year, our thoughts generally are drawn to the unknown future, as well as to the road of life over which we've traveled. And as we look back upon that road, we recall stretches when the sun shed its bright rays across our pathway, days of happiness and carefree times, and also on which he led us down some darker stretches when we encountered storms of stress and sadness. But all along the way, we've been able to detect with our faith eyes the Lord's leading us as a gracious Father and pouring out upon us countless blessings of his goodness and love. As we cast a glance backward over the road traveled, there's something else that we will see, and that is times when our running the race of faith was less than stellar, when our resolve to ever walk with Jesus and follow his example pure faltered, and when our zeal to serve and worship him flagged. And so a prayer that we want to present before his throne of mercy today as we cross over from one year to the next is, Father, forgive us our debts. Debts that are real, debts that are personal, and debts that our Father freely forgives us through Jesus, his Son. Sin. 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 Only thing I hear about when I go to church is sin, remarked a man to a friend when they got into a religious discussion one day at work during coffee break. That's why I'm not a regular churchgoer, he added. I don't see why the preacher always has to keep reminding us about our sin. Question that might occur to you is why this particular text was selected for a New Year's Eve Sunday. Father, forgive us our debts. Don't we already know that the child whose birth we just celebrated at Christmas time was born at Bethlehem to be our Savior from sin, and that he would die on a cross to atone for our sin? Doesn't the Bible teach that the knowledge of sin is deeply embedded in everyone's heart? God gave each person that thing called a conscience that bears witness that there's a God, that he's holy, and requires his creatures to be holy just like him, and he will one day summon them to stand before him to give an account. Really, every church building that you see along the side of the road, every Muslim mosque in the world, every Mormon temple, Jehovah's Witnesses Kingdom Hall, testify to this, that everybody knows that a holy God exists, and his anger over sin must be appeased somehow. But while everyone has that natural knowledge of God, a an awareness of the need to get right with Him they do not possess by nature, an accurate knowledge of the true God, and a proper appreciation for the depth of their sin debt before Him. Christians too, we who know the true God by God's grace still have a sin nature clinging to us, that old Adam that tempts us to lose our sin consciousness or to get it blurred by the godless world we live in that has no real understanding of what sin is. And so it's good, isn't it, that we talk about it regularly, ask God to help us retain a healthy sense of our sin condition in His sight, and to regard our sins of the past year of our past life as a debt that we've incurred against Him that has to be paid somehow. When you get a credit card statement in the mail or an email in your email inbox, as the case may be, line item information, all what you owe for goods purchased, that debt has to be paid off somehow so that you'd be free from that debt. Or if you live in an apartment or got a bank loan to buy your home, you have a rent payment or a mortgage that you're liable for, and remitting that payment is essential because if you don't, a collection agency might well come knocking on your door, or you might suffer eviction. Similarly, when it comes to our trespasses against God's holy law, the debt of sin that we've run up that is recorded in His ledger has to be settled somehow. And it will not work, as worldlings foolishly try to do, to ignore it or drown it out of their conscience by immersing themselves in worldly concerns and amusements and diversions, pretending the holy God doesn't exist and the day of reckoning is not coming. Not even death. Death itself can wipe out a person's sin liability before God. All death does, in the case of unbelievers, is come for them like a sheriff to summon them before the great tribunal of God to receive their sentence, their penalty. And the point of all this, friends, is, and just to be reminded of the importance of us of as Christians too, acknowledging the reality of the debt that we've incurred against our God for our sins, for our trespasses. But then, not to throw up our hands in despair, think that our situation is hopeless, to follow the example of the man that Jesus spoke about in His parable, the tax collector who stood afar off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast in sorrow and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a debtor, a sinner in your sight. Another pitfall that we want to avoid as Christians, in addition to the one I mentioned before, letting ourselves be conditioned by the world's devil-may-care attitude towards sin so that confession of sin is even on the radar of their heart, is to shift the blame for sin to others, to say or think, it's my parents' fault that I have this bad attitude, that I'm acting out because of something they did or said to me that I don't like. It's my spouse's fault I'm behaving in this uncaring way towards her or him because of how he or she has been treating me lately. And I wouldn't have lost my temper and flied off the handle against so-and-so at work if it wasn't for the stress that I was enduring because of my boss. It's my schoolmate's fault that I did this wrong thing. If I hadn't been peer-pressured by them into getting drunk or dabbling in drugs. You know, that passing of the sin buck dates all the way back to Eden. When God came to our first parents, you remember, after they'd ate of the forbidden fruit, found them hiding in the trees and asked Adam, what have you done? Have you eaten of that tree I commanded you not to eat of? He said, the woman you gave me, she gave me of that fruit and I ate. And when he asked Eve, what is this you've done? The serpent deceived me, and I ate. instead of acknowledging the debt of sin that they had incurred against their holy Creator. As we look back upon our past year, friends, and see it strewn with the debris of broken commandments, we want to take personal responsibility for our debt. And we want to say with that tax collector, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, Father. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit and a willing spirit. And then, may we be encouraged, may we be heartened, may our spirits be lifted by the blessed assurance that our Father who art in heaven freely forgives our debt. How can he do that? Well, you know the answer. Well, no mere human could pay our debt for us or cancel it out. One who is God can and did. We read in John's letter, "My little children, I write to you that you may not sin, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And you maybe know that beautiful gospel verse from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, "For our sake, God made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's why, friends, the gospel truly is good news. The Lord teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our debts," real debts, personal debts, and assures us that they've been paid through his innocent suffering, our God-appointed Savior. With the guarantee of his redemptive work, of which we have become blessed beneficiaries through faith, you can put down every accusation against God's law. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. We're able to thwart Satan himself when he tries to bring charges against us and frighten our consciences when he says, "You call yourself a Christian? Look at the sin blunders of your life. You expect God to receive you? See your record of failure to obey his commands." You know, Satan has another name in the Bible which you know very well. What is it? The devil. You know what the word devil, diabolos, in Greek means? It means false accuser or slanderer. He's like a prosecuting attorney in a courtroom who stands up to levy charges against the accused without any valid charges. Not a shred of evidence. The graphic example of that in the Old Testament also, I wanted to share with you, it's in the book of Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah writes in chapter 3 of his book how God showed him in a remarkable vision a high priest whose name was Joshua, standing next to the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord being the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus himself, before he was born at Bethlehem. Satan was standing on the other side, vehemently accusing Joshua, who, by the way, was dressed in filthy clothes. And the Lord sternly rebuked him, Satan, basically told him to sit down and shut up. He said to him, "Is this not the brand that I've plucked from the fire?" Referring to Joshua. Joshua, meanwhile, was standing there dressed in those filthy clothes, and the angel of the Lord gave instruction that his dirty clothes be removed and he be outfitted with a new set of clothes, clean and bright. And he told Joshua, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away, and I have clothed you with pure vestments." By that vision, friends, God was picturing the glorious gospel truth that through faith in Christ, believers are clothed in his holiness, and there's no one, not even the old serpent, slanderer, false accuser, the devil, can make any charges stick. Remember how the tax collector went home? According to Jesus, he went home justified, declared righteous, with a clean slate before the Lord. So may that be the rejoicing of your heart today and every day in the coming year. Are we real sinners? Have we incurred personal debts against God? Yes, there's no denying. Are we redeemed, saved, and justified through faith in Christ? Yes. Through trusting in him, the Holy Son of God. And so, when you notice your shortcomings before God, evidences of that old Adam's presence cropping up, then remember to look to the Holy Lamb of God in faith. Say with joy, "Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead for me, e'en for my soul was shed." And know that he's going to be there for you in every other need of your life as well. He'll lead you down your life's pathway, stretches out ahead, the unknown, directing your way, making everything work for your blessing, just as he did in the year that has passed. I mean, if your Father who art in heaven is loving enough to forgive you your sins through Jesus and strong enough to take you to heaven through him, he's loving enough also and strong enough to have your back on earth too. Trust in him. Worship him in thankfulness. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.